Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Renee. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. I have some kind of touch-up things to talk to you about tonight. There's something that happened several weeks ago, well, I guess maybe 2 weeks ago, in a Port St. Lucie school. And it was all over the news today and caught my eye. So I did a little bit of research. And one of the things that we've talked about before is the fact that when a child is harassed, picked on, taken apart from the group and ostracized for one reason or another, very sadly, it's not always children or peers or other teens that are the instigator. And we have talked about that, and we have talked about the fact that in the schools, when there's been one of these horrific days when some obviously mentally challenged young person has walked in and taken the lives of many other children, they also include several adults. And I was bothered a little bit by the fact that a lot of the adults that lose their lives that day are leaders, principals, teachers, and the most, I don't know, for me, for some reason, the saddest one was special education teachers, the teachers who should, and I hope most do, have a special heart to work with patience and empathy and love when they're working with young people whose challenges are greater than everybody else's. Now, in this particular situation, I'm going to read what was on the news, on Channel 12 News, and then I'm going to talk about it a little bit. The boy and his parents say the beating was ordered by a teacher. This child is 13 years old, and it's from a school in Port St. Lucie, which isn't very far from right here where I live in West Palm Beach. An attorney who represents the boy and his mother says she's still going through the school surveillance video and the police reports just released to her and the public by the St. Lucie County Sheriff's Office. That's obviously why it was on the news today. The attorney says she's shocked by what she's seen so far. The attorney also says that the mother of 13-year-old Radavius Williams has yet to see the video. The attack happened at North Point K through 8 in Port St. Lucie. That's an elementary school that goes all the way from kindergarten to 8th grade is kind of unusual these days. That kind of took me by surprise. In the video, we see up to 6 larger boys beating up Rodravius, who is much smaller. Rodravius said his mother say that he had talked back to a teacher. That teacher, they say, told the bigger boys to beat up the young man and bring him to her to apologize. The 6 bigger teens now face charges in juvenile system, but they've returned to the school. The teacher is still being investigated for possible criminal charges. Attorney Dina Foreman says the family is still evaluating their options and have made no decision on filing a lawsuit. The young man is now attending another school. Okay. So, let's assume that this is a true scenario. And I say assume because we won't know, and I wasn't there, and chances are you weren't there. So we don't know if this is really what happened. But it is in the news, and it is what the family is claiming. Now, in the video that I witnessed, while all of these boys are punching and pummeling this young kid against the wall in a school hallway. You see an adult female walking away from the altercation, towards the camera, actually. Now, they do not say on the video that I witnessed whether or not the person walking away, and everything is, I don't know what they call it when they like shade it or scramble it a little bit so you really can't see the faces of the people. But it was an adult, certainly older than an eighth grader and dressed like a grown woman walking away from this altercation. So I have to assume that even if she didn't order it, like the boys are saying happened, she also didn't stop it. Now, a few weeks ago, I talked about another altercation in a classroom, very similar. And in the video that some young man took on his cell phone, you see the teacher sitting right there. And at the very end of that episode, the teacher's actually participating in the, they weren't really punching this young man. They did some mean things to him. They dragged him around the room. They stuffed socks in his mouth. They tried to shove him underneath desks and things like that. Certainly bad enough so that I, for one, wouldn't want to go back to that school. And I, for one, would be afraid to make friends with anybody for fear that they may not like something about me and that will be my demise. So here again, we have what we talk about all the time, the adults that are supposed to be watching out for the young people, and they actually are participating in hurting and perhaps damaging the psyche of this young man for a long time to come. Now, personally, I'm not sure what I would do. As you all know, I my own grandson was hurt, and I just took care of my grandson, as did the rest of my family. We put all of our energy on making sure that he survived, and it's still a struggle every day. We didn't really get involved in the punishment of the kids because, as I've stated on the show before, I get no joy, absolutely positively no joy, from seeing another young person go down the road of being mean and hateful and having to dispense their own personal anger on another human being. It's not something that I approve of, appreciate, or anything I believe in. So, however, a teacher, somebody who growing up made the decision that they wanted to spend time every day, at least 6 hours a day, with young people. First, you have to hope and imagine that this person likes kids and wants to make a difference in the kids' lives. And yet something like this happens. I don't understand the mindset. Okay, I understand that this young man used profanity to the teacher. Well, on that note, let me tell you, if I ever get so old and so decrepit that I can't face off with a 13-year-old because he's mouthing off to me and I have to send six older teenagers to do my dirty work, I hope somebody puts me in real heavy shoes and pushes me in the bay, because I don't even get that. She couldn't reprimand that child herself. She couldn't bring him into her office and have a discussion with his behavior. And if that didn't work, she couldn't call the parents. Something's very wrong with this picture. If anybody out there is listening and has any input for this particular story, I will leave this open for the rest of this show. I I have nothing more to say about it other than I'm totally disappointed. What I read to you all didn't say anything other than she's under investigation. It doesn't give the name of the teacher, which I also think is wrong. I think the name of the teacher should be put out there. When you give away the fact that people trust you and don't take it seriously, you don't deserve anonymity, in my opinion. So I'm going to leave that story because there's not much else to say but what I've said. And on to a story that is encouraging and makes me very proud of a young 14-year-old girl that I've talked about before on the show. Bailey Silberstein, who is from here in Florida, and she's a young girl, 14-year-old, who about a year ago, I read it on the show when I first started Renee's Heart to Heart. I read about this. And she has been fighting lesbian, gay, bi, transsexual bullying in her middle school ever since she came out, I guess is the terminology, or let everyone know that she's a lesbian. She's adorable. She looks like the little girl next door. And what she wanted to do, instead of having all this turmoil and anger and problems in her school that doesn't let anybody do what they came to school for because they're always worried about what might be happening or either whether they're the aggressor or the aggressee, it doesn't make for an atmosphere that's conducive to learning anything but how to keep yourself safe. And another problem that we'll discuss at some point in time. So she decides she is going to start a gay-straight alliance. And she wants to do this after school. And she is she's been fighting for it now, like I said, for over a year. And they tried to cancel, the school she goes to, tried to cancel all the after-school activities just so she couldn't do this. So I want to read the email that she sent to Congress. You know, the worst part of getting bullied is when your school says it's okay, making you feel worthless and alone. After getting bullied, I had to fight for over a year to form a gay-straight alliance at school to help me and my friends. Now, with the support of tens of thousands of the ACLU supporters like you, I hope to be able to form the club soon. But I've been thinking about all the other kids like me who don't have a big petition, kids who face horrible name-calling and violence just for being gay at schools that do nothing. We have laws that say you can't discriminate against students because of their race, religion, or sex, but not their sexual orientation or gender identity. Today, we can start to change that. The Student Non-Discrimination Act, just introduced in Congress, would say that it's not okay for schools to discriminate against students because they are lesbian, gay, bi, or transsexual. I can't tell you how much that would mean to so many kids like me who are feeling alone and unprotected. So, I've shared my story with journalists and the sponsors of the bill on a press briefing with the hope that it will inspire members of Congress to support the bill. But I can't do this alone. Will you join me in speaking out? Let me make sure everybody understands why I have this email, because I joined the ACLU and started supporting some things like this. So I get these emails. So some of this is addressed to me to solicit my help. Will you join me in speaking out? Yes, I will sign the petition urging members of Congress to co-sponsor the Student Non-Discrimination Act. That's for me to sign. I know it's a really big thing to pass a law, but I also know that lots of really big things start small. When I tried over a year to get a gay-straight alliance at my school, a lot of people told me that I should give up. But my mom and I reached out to the ACLU, and over 50,000 of you signed a petition. Hundreds of people packed a school board meeting, and we even got a plane banner flying overhead, and it made a difference. The Student Non-Discrimination Act would give students like me and our parents a legal option when schools ignore serious bullying, and it would prevent schools from discriminating against us, too, like not letting us bring our dates to a prom, as a for instance. So I won't give up this time either, not until every student can go to the school without fear that they will be taunted, harassed, and made to feel worthless, while adults stand by and do nothing. Please sign the petition to call on members of Congress to co-sponsor the Student Non-Discrimination Act to help protect LGBT kids from discrimination and harassment. Not only does bullying get in the way of learning, but it can cause serious issues like depression and even suicide. So please help today. Thank you, Bailey Silberstein. Now, first of all, let me say that there's a few points in this email that I think have such tremendous legitimacy that they need to be talked about again. And I've said this once already this evening. When this kind of turmoil is going on in a school, when it's in all the kids' heads, do you really, really believe that any child sitting in an eighth grade class is paying any attention to what the teacher says? Of course they're not. Of course they're not. Their mind is a million miles away, either worrying about how they may have to defend themselves when they walk out of the classroom, or wondering if they want to participate in some of the taunting because it's amusing and it means that they're a part of the bigger group, the ones that everybody tries to be like. So what is happening to them? What is going on in school when they have to worry about this? I once had an eighth grade teacher. He had been in the Army for many, many years and then came home at like, I don't know, mid-40s, I guess he must have been. I remember I was 14 and I thought he was like ancient, but he must have been in his 40s. And he would say to us, I came here to teach all of you. I'm not babysitting you. So if you don't want to be in my classroom, go out and stand in the hallway right now. And some of the boys would actually get up and walk out in the hallway. And this teacher's name was Mr. Harvey. I've never forgotten him. And, of course, when I was that age, he kind of intimidated me, scared me a little bit. And I would just sit there and be quiet and watch to see which one of the boys would get up and walk out of the class. But he made a big deal about the fact that he was there to teach us things. He was a science teacher. And he would talk to us about things, and he would really get into them and really converse with us and everything. He was a good teacher. But he didn't want to monkey around with a bunch of kids that he was going to have to reprimand. He said, if you can't behave yourself, leave my classroom now because I'm not going to bother with you when I'm in the middle of teaching the kids that really want to learn. Good speech. Scared me. Obviously didn't scare some of the boys that got up and walked out of the class. But it made a big impression on me, one that I've never forgotten, seeing how it was 50 years ago. So the point here is that one of the things that Izzy says when he calls in the show, Izzy Kalman, when he talks to us, he does talk about the fact that they're trying to make it so a teacher has to be like a Gestapo. And all the rules and all the reprimands and keep an eye out and everything. Now, this is not to say that what this other teacher did in the issue that we talked about at the beginning of the show shouldn't receive some serious kind of, I don't know. I don't even know. Probably take some money away from her, because that seems to get our attention faster than anything else. But they shouldn't have to be policemen. They should be teaching. So if you've got all these things going on, and if you have a student who's 14 years old and is smart enough to know that she can make things better and calm the waters to a degree, my good God, what is everybody thinking? Why isn't that all right? Why does that have to go before Senate, before anybody realizes that that's a good idea? I don't understand that. If my husband and I raised the kids, we did this, we did that, made lots of mistakes, did lots of good things, did lots of bad things, a lifetime of ups and downs. But if I was with the kids and I knew that they had done something wrong, I didn't wait to discuss with Spike. I did something then to make things better or to make things all right, and he would do the same. That's one of the things that's lacking out there. If you know good and well that something can be accomplished and make things better in your school, I don't understand why it has to get locked up in bureaucracy for a couple years. By the time you do something for this young girl, Bailey, she'll be out of school. She won't even be there anymore. She'll be fighting her battles in her workplace. So I think it's time for all of us to do what I said the very first lecture I ever gave, and that's called take responsibility. Responsibility. It's a big word. A lot of people spell it wrong. A lot of people don't do it at all. Take responsibility. But having responsibilities and accepting responsibilities are two different things. All of us have responsibilities. Are you taking care of your responsibilities? I'm not asking you if you're perfect with your responsibilities. All I'm asking you is if you accept them and do the best you can with them. That's what needs to happen in some of these schools. I understand there's bureaucracy and there's red tape and there's certain steps that you have to follow. But wouldn't it happen a lot quicker if the whole school stood up in little Bailey's school and said, yes, we think this is a great idea. Please, let's allow her to do this and let's see how it works. If for no other reason, give it a trial run. A few weeks ago, when I was talking about some of the teenagers I have been very lucky to meet, I talked about being on a news show in Miami. And one of my favorite newscasters interviewed me that morning. And while I was waiting for the interview, they brought in these five kids from a Miami school. And these kids had started an organization to teach other kids about the differences in everybody's cultures and lifestyles. I was so blown away by these young people that I am so proud of them that I've talked about it since that day, and that's almost 3.5 years ago. They actually started like a forum in the afternoons, an after-school activity, by the way. And they would sit up on the stage, and there was an Orthodox Jewish child. There was a Catholic. There was a black child. There was a Muslim. There was a gay child. All these different these different lifestyles and these different cultures. And they allowed their audience, the other students in the school, to ask questions. And they separated them in ages so that, you know, so that you didn't have real little kids who might be over their head, etc. They did it very, very smartly. And it actually made a difference in the way everybody saw each other and the way everybody got along. Because that old adage about what you don't understand, you often fear or often don't like, is very true. So once people understood why you wear a beanie on your head when nobody else would be caught dead in it, there's more respect. There's more understanding. Or why you've chosen to not celebrate the Christmas holidays when everybody else, just about everybody else in school, celebrates the Christmas holidays. All of those things, especially in an elementary school, helped a lot. These kids were so happy and so pleased about what they were doing and being able to share their own personal stories that it was therapeutic for everybody involved. So now here we have this young 14-year-old girl who understands, who's wise beyond her years, obviously, understands that if she can just have the opportunity to explain to people how she feels, then she will generate some more understanding and some more empathy from her own peers. How beautiful is that? How beautiful is that? That's the answer. The answer is to embrace our differences, understand our differences. It doesn't mean you have to be who I am. Doesn't mean you have to like what I like. Doesn't mean any of those things. It simply means that you will respect what I like and what I don't like and the choices that I've made because they're mine to make. I know a lot of adults who, I dare say that there are some that are older than I am who haven't still grasped that. I don't know how they've survived in a life where there are so many differences with all of us. And yet, you look around every day and see what's going on. All the differences between our countries again. You know, for a while, things were copacetic for the United States of America. I mean, there were little things going on in other countries, and we were like the big brother who lent a helping hand but kind of stayed out of a lot of things. And then, of course, when I was a kid, by the time I was born, World War II was over. There was the silent war that I never quite understood even what that meant. Still not sure that I understand what that means. And then we had Vietnam. And I lost friends in Vietnam. And some that I didn't lose came back and their body was there. But the person that left to go to Vietnam was not there anymore. And then we had another few years of some peace and some observing from afar kind of life. And then all of a sudden, we break into all this discord and disharmony everywhere. And it seems to be snowballing. It seems to be taking off like a wildfire. And again, I realize that there's politics. I realize that there's money. I realize that it's power. But what else is it? It's not respecting the other people's cultures. It's not living a life that is truly honest to yourself and respectful to others and letting people live their own lives. If we keep on doing this pretty soon, it's going to be right here in our backyard again. So we're trying to start with the people that are eventually, in the next 10 to 15 years, going to be running this world. If we don't do something now to set them on a path that keeps them understanding that it's about respect, not just what I think is right and what you think is wrong, it'll just get worse and worse and worse. I feel like when I meet, well, I haven't met her. I wish I could meet her. Maybe I will try to do that, this young Bailey. I feel like there's really a lot of hope for us. And like the kids that I met in Miami and the kids that called me Good Friday from the local church who were so sweet and so generous of their time and loving. We need more of that. We need less discrimination. We need less judgmental attitudes. We need everybody to understand that it can't be my way or the highway. That's ridiculous. So, as I said, those two stories were what I wanted to talk about tonight, and I wanted to do a little bit of talking about Dr. Kalman, Izzy's information that he shares with this, and wondered if I could make it work with some of the things that I read about today. For instance, the boy that was attacked by the school kids, the six other students. Now, chances are, once you get a gang mentality, you're not going to stop anybody. But when I first read the story, I thought to myself, I kind of imagined that if they all circled him, could he have said, "Why is everybody mad at me? You know, did I do something to you?" And I have to wonder, because it's worked for me so many times when Izzy and I have done the role playing, that I wondered to myself, if that child had been taught to turn it around and say, "I didn't do anything to you, I'm mad at that teacher. You know, do you really like that teacher? Well, I'm mad at her. I'm not mad at any of you. Are you mad at me?" I wondered if that would have worked for this kid. Chances are it would have. If any of you have had the opportunity to do that with somebody in your family, the role playing, like what Izzy and myself and Shelley has participated in, I suggest that you try it. The night that I ask Gary to do it, I asked him to do it because I wanted him to feel the feeling that I felt when things got turned around and just seemed, less antagonistic and a little bit softer. And I actually, even though I could get into that role relatively easy, if you listened, I'm sure you heard that in my voice. And when the other person's attitude changed, so did mine. So I do believe it would work if we could get that across to all the young people that are out there and teach them the difference between either letting somebody run all over you because you're afraid, or letting somebody take advantage of you because there's more of them than there is you. One of the things that Izzy mentioned last night that stuck with me was, if somebody is attacking you because they really have something against you, they're usually angry when they do it. You can, you know, there's a difference in their whole demeanor. And if they are laughing or taunting you and thinking everything's funny, then that's a different kind of attack as well. That means they're not angry with you. It just means that you have more or less allowed them to make fun of you. And I'm not sure which one is worse, to be honest with you, and I'm sure that the recipient of either kind of behavior doesn't care what it is in the moment. They just are hoping and praying that they get left alone and don't get hurt. But I do see the difference, and if you can imagine that yourself, as an adult, if somebody says something smart to me, as some of you know, for years I waited on table, and I have been, I've been picked on a little bit waiting on table with a table full of young people that have been out drinking all night, or just felt like coming in and giving the waitress a hard time. I've had those things happen to me. But when Izzy mentioned that, I could almost imagine in my mind's eye some of the different scenarios that I'd been through, how there would be times when I knew somebody was really angry with me, maybe because something was wrong with the food, or maybe because I was really super busy and didn't get to them in time, who knows. But then there would be other times when they would just pick on me because they were having a good time picking on me. And if I laughed with them, we almost ended up being friends. If I got offended by it and ran away from the table, which is not my style and I never did, crying or something, then, of course, then that gave them the opportunity to stop by and see me whenever they were in that frame of mind. So that never happened to me, but it happened to plenty of the girls that I would work beside. So all of the things that Izzy has taught us have really rung true for me, made me feel like it is for real. If you allow somebody to pick on you to that degree, then they will, and they will hurt you again and again if you allow them to. So I think that does make a difference as well. One of the other things that I wanted to touch base on, as well as all of this kind of stuff, and I'm going to open the door to this in the very near future, and that is with all the things that are out there that we're all worried about and all the different things that our children come up against and all the battles that they have to fight in this particular time in our lives, it's all the drugs, alcohol, drugs of every kind, shape, taste, feel, shape, anything that you want. And alcohol, which was something that was probably the biggest drug when I was growing up, although I had lots of friends that experimented with marijuana and things like that. I grew up in the 60s. But today, we have a lot of stuff that's out there that's very, very, very scary. And when I think about the fact that you can walk into any Walgreens now and get a drug test to test your 13-year-old or your 14-year-old, it breaks my heart. So on top of all the other things that our kids are contending with, imagine if we don't help them through this other stuff that's going on, the being picked on, the being harassed, the being judged for whatever the reasons, then they have this lovely little thing that floats around out there that they can turn to if they can't turn to you. Now, I'm not saying, and believe me, I know this as a true fact, I am not saying that they won't turn to it anyway, even if you are right there with your arms wide open. But it's a lot easier in the beginning, if you're there in the beginning and they can turn to you and have somebody to go to and have somebody to talk to, instead of turning to those avenues. There's a lot of pain involved with growing up, a lot of pain, and a lot of struggles with what's right and what's wrong. And our kids have to go through that a lot of times totally alone, because even when you're right there and you tell them, you can tell me anything, we all know that there's lots of things that they don't want to tell mom and dad. There's lots of things that they don't want to tell their older sister or brother. So much of the stuff that they go through totally alone. Very, very scary. Somebody asked me the other day if I'd like to be 16 again. And I said, oh, my God, bite your tongue. I wouldn't want to be 16 again, especially today. I might consider 16 again if I could go back to 16 when I was 16. But not today. I wouldn't want to even be in my 20s today, because I'm pretty strong and I stand up for others faster than I do for myself, although I am capable of standing up for myself. But I'm more of a protector and defender of the people that I think can't defend themselves. And why I don't see myself like that, God knows. A shrink, I'm sure, could have a lot of fun with that. But I have a tendency to protect somebody else before I protect myself. But with today's challenges, you have to really, really, really be on the ball when you're a kid. And if you're contending with all those normal things and being picked on and being harassed because you're, you know, whatever the reasons are, it must be horrible for them. Horrible, horrible. Do you all recall, some of you that have been listening since the very beginning when I first started the show, I read a letter one evening from, sounded like a very, very sweet mom who had a beautiful little girl who was like a princess, you know, and she had been going to a school where everybody knew her and they all grew up together and everything was wonderful. And her job, mom's job or dad's job, they had to move someplace else. And all of a sudden, her daughter didn't want to go to school anymore. I mean, pretend she was sick, she'd lay in bed, she wouldn't get up. Her mother was like, "What is wrong with you? I don't want to go to school. I hate it. I hate it." The, you know, and in this scenario, the bully or bullies was not some mean little boy who wanted to pull her hair and be mean to her. It was other princesses, other beautiful little girls whose parents set them on pedestals, and they had everything any little girl could want. And when she started going to this school, she was a newcomer. And it's shocking how often young people aren't welcoming to newcomers. So at any rate, they did not welcome her and made her life miserable. So the mom goes to school. She talks to everybody. Everybody says, yes, they'll work on it. If anything happened, it got worse, like Izzy tells us it will, because then the teachers go to the other parents. The parents reprimand the kids. And then the kids get angry because the little girl tattled on them, and it just starts that whole big circle of discontent. And this went on for well over a year. And she said she'd gone to school, she'd gone on the bus, she'd done everything. She'd called the parents of the little girls that were picking on her daughter. All it did was get worse and worse and worse. And as Izzy says, that's usually exactly what happens when a parent gets involved to that degree. So she decides that she's going to enlist the help of her own childhood girlfriends. And she calls them, and she says, I'd like you and your daughters to come to my house, and we're going to get my daughter and your daughters all together and let them form like a friendship club. And they did that, and the girls did, you know, they would do arts and crafts and things like that on the weekends together. And according to this young girl in her mom's letter, the harassment didn't stop. The harassment didn't stop in school. Although the older she got, the more, you know, people didn't have as much time and moved on to other things. But it still existed. But because she knew she had a safe zone where there were friends that cared about her and some protection and some peace and caring, she made it through it. And we talked about that one night for a whole show, about how often that's all people are looking for. So if you do have a child, or if you are listening to the show tonight and you're a teenager and you're struggling with this, find a safe zone. And I don't mean hiding in your bedroom on the internet or on your phone or anything like that. I mean a place with friendship. I mean a place where you and kids that you know understand who you are and what you are can be together and have a camaraderie and you feel loved and protected. Most of you, I hope, always feel loved and protected at home. But maybe not. Maybe there's extenuating circumstances. Maybe things are going on at home where you can't feel that way and you don't have that safe zone. So try to find one. Try to find like-minded friends that you can be with. Boys, there's lots of things you can do. Basketball teams, baseball teams. But don't go out and try to fit in where they've already made it very clear to you that they're not ready for you. Organize your own. Find boys and girls even that you get along with well and form a camaraderie and do your own thing. It's important as you're growing up. I see that I have Shelley joining me. She was working late tonight. I'm going to bring her in because I'm getting hoarse from all this talking. Hi, Shell.
How you doing, Rain? I'm still working,
I'm
believe
okay.
it or not, but I'm to a point where I can kind of like take a break. I'll be here for a little bit yet.
Well, good, because I had some stuff to share about. Do you remember Bailey that we talked about a long time ago, the 14-year-old girl that was trying to start the Gay
yes.
Straight Alliance
yes.
in her school?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I signed on for the ACLU so that I could keep track of her, and I get a lot of letters, and this was an email that she sent to Congress, and of course one came to me, and I read it, and it's lovely. And so we talked about that a little bit, and I also talked about there was a story on the news today that took place a couple weeks ago, but there was a young boy in, I believe he's 14, in Port St. Lucie School that apparently mouthed off to a teacher, and the teacher told other big boys to go teach him a lesson and bring him back to her to apologize to her.
Oh,
so
wow.
They actually took him in the hallway, and it's on video, them pummeling him. And you can see an adult female walking away from the assault towards the camera, and even though the images are scrambled like they do, you can still
yeah.
see that it's a grown woman, and she's just walking away from them. They were kicking him and punching him, and she is under investigation. The boys are still awaiting some kind of retribution, but they're back in school, and the young boy that was assaulted is in a different school. So I talked a lot about that tonight, and the fact that the deeper we dig, the more we find out that in so many cases it's not just kids, and the ones that hurt the worst are the people that are supposed to be protecting us.
Right, and again, I still find that astonishing. We've discussed that before. I
uh-huh.
can't wrap my brain around that. You know,
I can't either.
You're in a position of authority. You're in a position where you're supposed to be making it safer or better. Or, I mean, how can a kid learn when he's frustrated, angry, afraid? You know, all these different emotions that come out, and you're just compounding the problem. You're supposed to be the solution. You know, and I think that's why when you were mentioning something to Izzy the other night about John, about how John, you know, he forgives the children who have mistreated him in his life, but he has a very hard time with the adults, and it's because you expect more from adults. You expect them to be the ones to come to your rescue, and when they're not, it's more devastating.
Yeah. Well, I think, plus that, I think it just digs deeper. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's
mm-hmm.
like instead of getting slapped, it's like being stabbed when a grown-up does
yeah,
it to
exactly.
you.
Exactly. Because it's more of a shock when it comes from somebody that you expect to be fending for you. It hurts deeper. It can be the exact same action coming from a child, from an adult, but from the adult it has more intensity in how it
mm-hmm.
affects you.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well,
yeah.
now I struggle with I kind of got up on a tangent tonight because I said, you know, this is the way we're going. I mean, I remember a time in my life when the United States of America was in a bit of a peaceful mode. We had, you know, after World War II, there was an interlude that was relatively peaceful, and we were like, you know, we were like the part of the family of the world that was managing their own family, and everything seemed to be going along all right. And if we could lend a hand to another family that was struggling or another country that was struggling, we did.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's escalated into, first of all, we don't have the respect that we used to have for whatever reasons, and I guess we could probably discuss that until the cows come home. But
yeah.
We don't have that respect anymore. There is no, because there's no respect, there's no, I don't want to use the word fear, but there's no, I guess it is like a fear. It's like a dad that's no longer in control. So
mm-hmm.
you're not, you know, you don't think he rules the roost anymore.
Right.
What is the word
right.
I want to describe that? Because fear sounds like you have to make people afraid of you, and I don't mean that. It's about respect.
Well, I know exactly what you're trying to say, and I don't know that fear is the correct word either. But when you have a lack of respect for authority, that's any kind of authority, whether it be parental, governmental, your boss or whatever, there's always going to be where people start acting out because they don't care anymore. Once somebody loses respect for another individual or for an organization or for a country for that matter, they get to the point where they don't care anymore. And that, when you get to the point where you're starting to feel like that, then it leads to unpredictable behavior, even based on the own person's character. Sometimes they do things that surprise them because
mm-hmm.
they don't have that they don't have like that safety switch anymore. When you respect somebody, or at least you can have some level of respect for them, even if it's tainted a little bit, it prevents you from doing things that are, you know, out of line, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but
well,
that appears,
and I guess authority is a good word too. We don't seem to be able to put the authority out there like we did for many, many years, the United States.
Mm-hmm.
For many years, because of the mutual respect that we had for the successes that take place in the United States of America. Now, there seems to be some lack of that. So things are traveling here, getting closer in our own yards, getting closer in our own homes. All the things that have been happening just here recently give me reason to believe, you know, that we have a bigger problem than anybody really truly understands. And
mm-hmm.
that's the whole reason that we have to do something about the kids. That's the whole reason why we have to fight to get the kids to understand that there has to be a mutual respect, that everybody has to carry their end of the ladder, and that we have to care enough and have enough empathy to take care of each other in our time of need. Now, what happened in Boston, I found to be very well managed. After all the hurricanes that have been here in Florida, and we've seen what happens if people aren't kept an eye on, and the pilferage and all the different things that happen. When they told the people to get off the streets in Boston, they really got off the streets.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a part of that was because of the overall fear that was generated because they didn't know who was running around with a gun in their hand. I get that. But there still seemed to be a real effort to do what was being asked of them by the people that were left in charge, which showed some
mm-hmm.
respect and I thought was wonderful. I'd like to see more of that, and I think that the rest of the world needs to see more of that. But, of course, like I said, if we don't help our kids get to that place, then what will happen in another 6 or 7 years, Shel, when all the kids right now that are okay with doing some of the things that they're okay with what will the world be like?
Right. Well, the whole thing is that we have to start returning to decent values and people making decisions that they're going to do something because it's the right thing to do for everybody involved, and not just looking at making a buck or something like that. When I was traveling abroad recently, one of the things that I was impressed by is how much the European countries are into alternative energy sources. And it's something that you know, here we are, I think the United States is a great nation. I don't want anybody to misinterpret what I'm saying. It's because I think it's a great nation that it upset me that we used to be a leader in science, we used to be a leader in farming practices, we used to be a leader in medicine, and now so much around the world has just passed us by because too many businesses in the United States look at making a profit instead of making something that's good. So farming practices have suffered. We're not going forward aggressively enough with alternative energy sources and things like that. So that's one of the reasons why the world doesn't look at the United States in the same stance it used to, and it's transcending down to people. I mean, people travel all the time. So, yeah. I mean, like, this was one of my first times ever to Europe. But, you know, so you go abroad, you come back, and you kind of bring some of that disappointment back with you. So instead of being disappointed, the focus is to be proactive. Let your legislature, let your senators, let your congressmen know that, hey, you know, let's stop wasting money in areas that aren't benefiting the country, and let's start really looking at these solutions. Be an entrepreneur. Look to invest in companies. Start working for companies that are working on alternative. You know, be part of the solution. Don't just sit back and complain and say, oh, my God, what's happened to this country? Fix your little area that you can touch, and if everybody did that, this country would turn around in a very short amount of time. You know, but just to sit back and get despondent and think and say, you know, it's not the power it used to be is not the way to go. Because we were there once before, and the United States can become a number one power again. Because we have the intelligence in this country. We have great minds. We have very ethical people. And we just need them to really rally and move forward, getting this country back to what it used to be.
Well, I think that synopsis is true about everything that we talk about on this show. It's about accepting, well, and this is what I've already said tonight, it's about accepting responsibility and being able to stand up for what's right and stand up when something isn't right and take the responsibility that's needed. This bureaucracy involved in Bailey's attempt to, you know, have this class at night, and this little girl, this 14-year-old girl, can't just do that on her own. What the hell? The school can't say, absolutely, Bailey, do that at night. What a wonderful idea. Instead it has to go to Congress. By the time it goes through Congress, she'll be 47.
That's true.
I know.
You know.
But that's a big part of it. Instead, everybody is afraid almost to take responsibility and say, yes, that's a wonderful idea. Let's do that. Honey, we've got to go already. A minute is only left. But I did touch base on what you just said about the responsibility and about the fact that we have become, that's what led me to it, is because they're making Bailey go to Congress to have a after school meeting. I mean, my good God. So, but I want to thank you for joining me while you're still working. And we will talk tomorrow night. And we have an appointment at the Good Earth Farm on Saturday to go talk about the event at the farm.
Wonderful. Good news.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So I think
Excellent. Everything
will come together. And thank you. And drive home safely. And everybody that's out there listening, I want to send Gary a big hug and a smooch on your sore cheek. Gary had a whole bunch of dental work done. And I want everybody to send him some good energy because he's been miserable for the last few days. So, Gary, we're all thinking about you and love you, and we hope you feel better. So, everybody, from my heart to yours, good night and God bless. Good night, Miss Shelley.
Good night. Good night, Renee. Good night, everyone.